So tonight I wanted to, if we could have the PowerPoint up, I wanted us to look at our vision. And our vision, as you know, is living like Jesus, reaching out with God's hope and love. To live like Jesus, reaching out with God's hope and love. As we start this new year, I thought it would be just good again to refocus on our vision. And I wanted to say that the reaching out with God's hope and love goes well with my personality. Those of you, looking around, some of you may know Myers-Briggs, so I'm an ENTJ, which is a sort of action-orientated extrovert type of person. So reaching out with God's hope and love fits with who I am. So if we're going out into the village on the streets, then that's okay with me. If I'm working in the cafe, that's good. If people are coming in, I'm very happy talking to them. And I guess that's why I ended up being a what we call a resource steward, because when people want things doing, unfortunately, they tend to go to the resource steward. But it's the first bit that I want us to look at tonight, because that to me is a completely different ball game. That's completely different. Living like Jesus is not all about going down to the village or doing all that sort of stuff. And those of you who might have been at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, I can see some that were there, Susanna prayed this lovely prayer. She prayed a prayer that went something like this: Lord Jesus, help me to be like you when I'm at Slimming World. You can tell that's not me. When I'm playing netball, when I'm in the shops, when I'm talking to my neighbours, it was something like this: help me to be like you. And Lord, I need your help if I'm going to be like that. And this morning David was quoting that Kendrick song about the fragrance of Jesus. So she was talking about being the fragrance of Jesus. Whatever she was doing, wherever she was, that was her prayer. And I guess the question is that possible? I'm being serious now. Is that in the world in which we live, you know, when you're at Slimming World or netball or whatever your thing is that you do in the world, is it really possible to live like Jesus? Because that's what our vision is, to live like Jesus, reaching out with his hope and love. Now, some of you, I know we're at New Wine, and some of you may have gone to some seminars or some talks. I know that Rob and Bert have, so this is really revision for them, to a guy called John Mark Comer. Have you heard of John Mark Comer? No? Good. That makes me feel better. I've never come across this guy at all, but I take Christianity magazine, and there was an article about him in the December Christianity magazine, and I listened to that. That's linked to Premier Radio. So I listened to a podcast by him, and I knew my daughter had gone to New Wine. And so I said, Lizzie, have you heard of John Mark? Oh, yes, Dad, yes. He's brilliant, and I've got some DVDs, and I'll lend them to you if you want. And I suddenly started to hear about this guy. And just as an aside, yeah, it's a real blessing when, you know, you bring your kids up and you want them to grow in the Christian faith, when they're actually saying to you, yes, Dad, you've got to, because he's this, and my daughter's now encouraging me in the Christian faith. And that is a real blessing. But the combination of listening to this guy, John Mark Comer, and a conversation that I had actually at Lizzie's church has led to what I want to share with you tonight. You see, because it's not complicated, and coma is not complicated, if we want to live like Jesus, then we have to live like Jesus. Now, as I say, that's not complicated, but it's not easy, and it's not straightforward. And it doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen naturally. We have to do that. So what Comer was talking about reminded me of a verse when I first became a Christian. I first became a Christian 50 years ago. J.B. Phillips had just brought out a translation of the Bible. Well, I hadn't got any Christian background at all. I looked at the Bible. In those days, it was the Authorized Version. And it was completely went straight over my head. And then suddenly I got this J.B. Phillips version of the Bible. And honestly, it was really, suddenly I could read it and it made sense and it spoke to me and it was absolutely brilliant. And one of his translations that is a sort of, is often quoted, his translation of Romans 12 verse 1, which he translated it like this: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into his mold. And what Comer was speaking to me about was just how much the world around me is actually squeezing me into its mold. And in the NIV it says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 verse 2. And so I guess my question, I go back to what I said before. Living like Jesus is, all we have to do is live like Jesus. It's that easy, or it's that difficult. So is Jesus the one that's squeezing us into his mold? Is Jesus the one that's actually influencing our lives? Or is it actually all the stuff that's going on around us that's squeezing us? Now, I've heard this verse before. I've heard plenty of people preach on it. And I know that people are trying to sell me aftershave. And if I buy this aftershave, you know, everybody will be falling at my feet. Or if I go eat this food, or if I go there, you know, all that stuff is pretty obvious that it's trying to influence you and shape your decisions and make you do things. And that's not what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about the stuff that's not quite as obvious as that. And Comer talks about these things. These are the things that he calls are shaping us or squeezing us. So first of all, our story. And what he means by our story is, you know, what's the good life as far as we're concerned? You know, what if somebody says, you know, what's life all about? Is it about, you know, bringing your kids up, making sure they get well educated, trying to do a good job, trying to, you know, be healthy? So what's our story? What's the thing that we're sort of living for? I had a shock actually just before Christmas because a couple of guys that I work with, one who's still at work, one who's retired, had strokes, serious strokes, especially the younger one, much younger than me. And I sent an email to a friend of mine and said, did you know that John and Mike had both had strokes? And she came back to me and said, no, she said, I didn't. But, you know, that just says to me that you've got to live life to the full and make the most of every moment. And I was, whoa, I wasn't quite expecting that as the response. And a lot of my colleagues who've retired, who've done quite well, that's what they're doing. They're off to New Zealand, they're off here, they're everywhere, trying to pack their lives with every moment. So what's their life story? It's about, I want to do as much as I can. Now, that may not be your story, and I'm sure it probably isn't. The other thing that he says is influencing us are our habits. And I don't mean that habits like picking your nose. I mean habits like doing what you do every day. So every day you go to sleep, every day you get out of bed in the morning, I don't know what you do then. You have your breakfast. You, some of you will drive to work. Some of you will, you know, work. You'll look after the family, whatever you're doing. You'll come home. You'll have your tea. You'll watch the telly. You'll read a book. You'll do whatever you do. You might have a quiet time sometime during the day, and then you'll go to bed at night. And those are your habits. So those are the things you do habitually. They're the things that every day takes part of your life. So it's your story, it's the things you do every day, it's your relationships, the people that you are in your family, your friends, and those relationships influence you, and you tend to have friends. I learned this at work, that you know, the people that you like working with are the people like you. One of the lessons I had to learn was that's not necessarily a good thing. You need people who aren't like you to work with. But anyway, we are shaped by our relationships. I've been married to Rosie for 40 years, and she has influenced my life. You didn't know me before I knew Rosie, but I am now more caring than I used to be. I know that's difficult for you to believe, but I am, because Rosie's a very caring person. And she's had an influence on my life. And of course, today, our relationships are not necessarily ones that, you know, we have relationships now on WhatsApp groups, on Facebook, on Twitter. I know some of you looking here, I'm sure you're not quite into Twitter and Facebook, but our relationships now aren't just physical relationships. We have social networks. So our relationships are now social networks. And if you've listened to the news this week, there's been quite concern about young people being influenced by the social network. Are they being liked or not liked? Or are they in a friendship group or not in a friendship group? Are they whatever? And whether it's social media or whether it's just relationships anyway, they do affect us. If our relationships, if we feel that we're excluded or we're included or whatever, they are beginning to shape us. And apparently, according to the Daily Mail, so it must be true, that the average person, average now, and I'm looking around here, and I would say most of you are below average in terms of this. I know Brian is, because he doesn't have one of these things. The average person looks at their phone 110 times a day. So that's the average person. So we're generally lowering the average, I think. So a lot of people are on their phones. And I can see it with, to be honest, my kids are on the phone all the time. It's shaping their lives. It's shaping. It's giving them information. It's influencing their lives. And we're influenced, too, by our backgrounds. What sort of home we were brought up in, what sort of school we went to, what we did when we left school, all of those things influence our lives. So there, all these things are shaping us and are squeezing us. And I guess the thing that happens is we don't have to do anything. This stuff's just happening. We don't have to go out of our way to make this happen. This is what happens every day. Things are shaping the way in which we live. Things, in J.B. Phillips' translation, are squeezing us into their mold. And the big question is then, how much is Jesus? How much really is Jesus shaping our lives? Because unless we do something, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be shaped by just everyday stuff. It's going to shape our lives unless we intentionally do something. Now, I said to you, I was challenged by this. Again, actually, it was through Lizzie and her church. So I went to Lizzie's church before Christmas, and I was talking to Posh Peter. So Posh Peter goes to their church. Peter is very posh. Peter has a Bugatti. He's a lovely chap. And so Posh Peter said to me, "How are you enjoying your retirement, David?" And I said, well, that's okay, you know, it's okay. I'm still quite busy doing stuff, but yeah, it's okay. She said, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving being retired. And he said, so, you know, I get up in the morning, I have breakfast, I make myself a cup of coffee, I go up into our snug with my Bible. Got a snug, he's very posh. Up into the snug with my Bible, I just spend an hour or so with the Lord. And then we went on talking about other stuff. And I thought, I could do that. I could do that, but I'm not doing that. And I know some of you are saying, well, it's all right for you, you're retired. Believe me, whether you're retired or not retired, you can fill your life with stuff. It's not difficult to fill your life. And if I'm going to do something to stop the world squeezing me, I'm going to have to make time to do it. Because what this verse that we read together talked about was having our lives transformed. And this is Coma's big thing. It's about transformation. In 1 Corinthians, we read we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Being transformed. So here we are at the beginning of 2018. So we're here, and here's the end of 2018. And I'm sure every one of us wants to live more like Jesus. And, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years, 50 years, every year thinking, yeah, I want to be more like Jesus. I'll go to the covenant soon. And I'm trying to get, you know, up here somewhere. Coma's talking about being transformed. He's talking about getting there, not here. Being transformed. Transformed is completely different. Being changed completely by the Lord Jesus. And I have to say to you, I don't think I'm going to, unless I do something, I ain't going to get there. I ain't going to be transformed. I'm going to be hopefully a bit more like Jesus, but I'm not going to be transformed unless I do something. So finally, I'm going to get to the text. You'll be happy about this, Hilary. So the text I wanted to talk about is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, you know these words, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, all the other stuff that's squeezing us, with its passions and desire. Now, living that to me looks like living like Jesus. If we were people who lived like that, if we were full of love, if we were full of joy, if we brought peace into situations, if we brought kindness where there is no kindness, if we brought gentleness, if we were people who were... That's, to me, a picture of what living like Jesus is. And the thing is that these aren't commands. Paul isn't saying, that's what I want you to live like. He's saying, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Because we've all done it. I've done it. I'm sure you have. I must be more patient. This week, Lord, I'm going to try to be more patient. Especially when I'm driving, I need to be more patient. It doesn't work. It might, you know, work hard for a week. It doesn't work. And Jesus talked about abiding in him, in the vine. This is about fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is if you read John's Gospel, Jesus says, if you want to produce fruit, much fruit, more fruit, you have to abide in me. You have to abide in me. And I think, you know, Jesus isn't here now, but the Holy Spirit is. The next verse says, if you want that stuff to happen, you have to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. How do we do that? How do we live by the Spirit? How do we keep in step with the Spirit? Well, Coma talks about being an apprentice. He's saying a disciple is, you know, not, that's not a 2018 word, an apprentice is. And I get apprentice, you know, I was an apprentice, so are like the word apprentice. And I was, I'm going to show off now, I was a national apprentice ambassador. So I was trying to raise the level of apprenticeships, and it used to make me so cross when I first took this role on that we could do a 14-week apprentice. You could do an apprenticeship in 14 weeks. And I was quoted once for saying, you know, that's just a Mickey Mouse. That's not an apprenticeship. That's playing. That's a training course at best. It's certainly not an apprenticeship. I did a 5-year apprenticeship. And when I was at work, there were people saying, it was all right for you, lad. 7 years for me. And he thought, you know, 5 years was pathetic. You know, before that, actually, apprenticeships took 10 years. To become skilled in the art, to become, to really know what you're doing, takes time. Well, I'm pleased to say the government listened to me, and now apprenticeships are not 14 weeks any longer. The minimum length of an apprentice now is 1 year. And you can do an apprenticeship in 1 year and 1 day. It has to be more than 1 year. And so there are lots of 1 year and 1 day apprenticeships. Because we don't want to take 3 years or 5 years or 7 years. We want it in 1 year. We want to be fit, but we don't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go running and do all that stuff. We just want to be fit. We live in a culture where we don't want to put the work in. We want the end result, but we don't want to put the work in to get the end result. And that's another thing I think is squeezing us, because that's the world in which we live. The world of instant, the world of here and now, not the world where we have to work. And so I'm starting on this journey. Before Christmas, I started, after Posh Peter spoke to me, I thought, you know, I can't, this isn't right. And I looked again at the scripture. Because if we want to live like Jesus, we've got to live like Jesus. And if you look at what Jesus did, he made time to be with the Father. Now, our equivalent of making time to be with the Father, our equivalent is what Paul's talking about, keeping in step with the Spirit. And you read all the time that Jesus was alone. He made time to be with the Father. He made time to be. I'm reading slowly through John's Gospel, and I've got to the woman at the well, and he just struck me again. Yeah, I'd be one of the disciples off getting the food, because, you know, that would be my natural inclination. Not like Jesus at the well, all the time in the world. To be with that lady. No, you didn't see Jesus rushing about. We live in a rushing about society, a society that all the time is trying to grab our time. And we have to do something if we're going to. And I think this is one of the keys of doing it. One of the key things is spending time alone with Jesus. Mark Comer, John Mark Comer, quotes Mother Teresa. Dan Rather, you might, those of us who are my age, you know who Dan Rather is. He was a famous American news interviewer, and he interviewed Mother Teresa live on telly. And he said to Mother Teresa, he said, when you pray, what do you say to God? And Mother Teresa said, I don't really say anything. I just listen. So Dan Rather says, well, okay, if you listen, what does God say to you? And he said, he doesn't really say anything. He just listens. And she said, if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. And, you know, I'm practicing the presence of God. Being in God's presence is like that. I think it's just, it is just what Mother Teresa is saying. And I'm just starting my journey, but I can tell you it's beginning to be transformational for me. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you look at the clock or you look at your watch and you think, oh, just 5 more minutes and then I'll get up. I've had several times of being in God's presence when I thought, I just need 10 more minutes before I know I've got to do stuff. I am not going to do it. I want to spend another 10 minutes with you, Lord. And I honestly believe if we're going to keep in step with the Spirit, if we're going to live like Jesus, one of the key ways of doing it is really determining to make time to do that, to be in God's presence. Because as I say, I'm beginning to get it. And we're going to sing just quietly, because I've always loved this song, but the words just say it all. To be in his presence, to sit at his feet, where his love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. To rest in your presence, not rushing away, to cherish each moment. Here I would stay. And you know, I believe that as we go into this year, if we want to live like Jesus, if we want to have those fruits coming out of our life, then we have to spend more time abiding in him, being attached to him. Like Psalm 1 talks about being like a tree planted by the water, receiving his Spirit, receiving his love, just being in his presence. And so what I'd like us to do is to sing this song just quietly together. And then we'll find, I've got some, it's encounters, so we've got to have questions. So I've got a little bit of an exercise, and then we'll do what we normally do. I don't want to go on all night. So we'll just give ourselves a bit of time and space to think about our lives, to think about what things are squeezing us, what things are shaping us. And maybe Coma says, you've got to start where you are. Maybe there's one thing that you could say, do you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spend that time. Instead of doing that, I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. And just, not a big deal. It's just this practicing the presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote a book which some of you will have read. He wrote it hundreds of years ago, and it was called Practicing the Presence of God. Whatever he was doing, he just wanted to practice the presence of God, to keep in step with his Spirit, to live like Jesus. So let's just sing this together then. To be in his presence. We'll sing it quietly together.